the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. It's 12:05, and I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. The winning streak weather-wise will continue along the lakeshore at least through the end of the week. A look at Allen's hometown forecast from WHTC.com follows this news. One person is dead and another is injured after a head-on two semi crash that closed the northbound lanes of I-196 north of South Haven just before dawn this morning. Authorities say that a southbound truck drove through the median and a cable barrier before striking the other rig. A separate two-vehicle crash on the southbound lanes in Casco Township is believed to have been caused by the backup surrounding this wreck. The Holland Planning Commission yesterday approved the blueprints for a 68-unit condominium complex on part of the former Holland Country Club site. The Villas of Holland Senior Living Community will have 15 four-unit condos and four duplexes, all single-level, along with a clubhouse that includes various amenities. First Ward Councilman Mike Trithui, who represents that area, says that this idea doesn't fit with the Holland Heights neighborhood.
We enjoy maybe a little bit larger lots, a little bit more space between our homes. And now we're looking at 68 new individual units being put in a very small area. That density just does not fit what I call the infill of the neighborhood.
He also can't overstate the importance of a decision about developing this property.
This is the last big area that we have to be developed. We get one chance at this. I think it's too much and too small an area that will not fit in the neighborhood.
The commission also endorsed rezoning of the 25-acre site to accommodate the development, but the Holland City Council must still approve that before construction can begin. A 21-year-old Grand Rapids man was injured after apparently missing the entrance ramp to I-196 in Zeeland yesterday afternoon. Authorities say that Joseph White was eastbound on Byron Road, looking to make a U-turn to get onto the freeway, when he went into the path of a westbound vehicle driven by 38-year-old Timothy Imrick of Hudsonville, causing a T-bone collision. White was taken to an undisclosed hospital in stable condition. No word from deputies as to whether or not Imrick was hurt. Both drivers were buckled up. This program is for the birds and for those who like to see them.
If you've been watching birds in your yard or while out on a walk and you'd like to know what kind of birds they are, Ottawa County Parks is offering a program lineup for bird enthusiasts. Whether you've been watching birds for years or have only just begun, the Thursday morning bird walks are enjoyable for everyone. For those who want the outdoors, hikes are scheduled for several Thursdays where you'll walk the trails of Hemlock Crossing Park. Bring your binoculars. If you'd prefer to view from the great indoors, you can take part in Coffee with the Birds and sip on coffee or hot chocolate while discussing birds with park naturalist and residing bird buff Curtis Dykstra. For more information, visit myottawa.org/parks. Diane Costin, WHTC News.
Officials of Zeeland Lumber Holdings say that 72 jobs would be created in northern Indiana after announcing yesterday an expansion project into Elkhart. Slated to open before March 31st, the full-service lumber yard and distribution facility will build upon the company's current sales office presence in neighboring Mishawaka. A truss manufacturing plant is also part of the expansion plans by Zeeland Lumber and Supply. During tonight's work study session, the Holland City Council will go over a pilot program for overnight street parking, the framework of the Sustainability Committee, the Holland Advantage Program, the Downtown Parking Assessment Policy, and the Windmill Island Gardens fundraising campaign. This afternoon, a committee to formulate a business plan for the future of Windmill Island holds a biweekly meeting. The State House yesterday took up a resolution that would allow the Michigan Department of Education to continue funding implementation of the Common Core curriculum standards that a special committee had been looking at this summer. Advocates say that these levels would ensure a base mean for classroom instruction nationwide, but some lawmakers, such as Bob Janetsky, believe that local educators should establish this, not politicians.
We look at the Common Core standards and we let our teachers and our local experts say, these are the standards that are good, these we don't agree with, and we're going to take them.
The Saugatuck Republican, a one-time teacher himself, has some concerns, such as this.
They want first graders to be able to use commas. That seems rather early for me to be introducing commas at first grade, especially since they don't introduce the parts of speech until third grade. How do you know when to use a comma if you don't know if you're offsetting a noun from a noun from a pronoun or whatever?
Janetsky also doesn't like the Smart and Balance assessment test that comes with Common Core.
Some estimates say it's going to cost us as a state over $300 million for us to get the entire state wired up for the Smarter Balance assessment. And a lot of people are concerned for a lot of the personal information that is given up on individual students to this giant database in D.C. or Virginia or wherever.
The resolution comes with some strings attached, including a report by the department to the legislature by December 1st. With the election still 14 months away, Governor Snyder, who hasn't even formally declared he's a candidate yet, plans to run his first campaign ad today in several major markets in Michigan.
It's a nerdy job, but someone has to do it.
It's a 60-second version of the five-minute film he debuted at the Republican confab on Mackinac Island this past weekend. Zach Pohl on the campaign staff of Democratic challenger Mark Schauer says it's a sign the governor's running scared and desperate to repair the damage he's done to his own poll numbers.
We've never seen an incumbent governor going up on television with political ads 14 months before an election, and it's because he's in trouble heading into next year's election.
The Snyder campaign's reportedly spending more than $500,000 on this first ad blitz. John McNeil, WHTC News.
Financial America is a tale of two economies. So says investment advisor and author Kevin Clark of Raymond James & Holland, who believes that Wall Street's glamour over record-high indices and profit margins is contrasted by Main Street's relative grime of sluggish growth.
One where corporate America has done extremely well. They've had tremendous gains in productivity, but yet that hasn't really spilled over into a healthy job market. And, many people are still underemployed or unemployed.
He puts the blame on this squarely in the nation's capital.
Washington continues to be reckless and, truly is the drag on the U.S. economy. And so until Washington, both sides of the aisle and the president, until they become adults, we're going to have a lag there for the economy.
Another round of corporate earnings statements should begin next week that could set the tone for the fall on Wall Street. Clark made his remarks in an appearance on WHTC in the Morning with host Brent Allen earlier today. There was a whole lot of ticketing going on during Labor Day weekend earlier this month. The final figures are in from the special federally funded patrols targeting drunk drivers and seatbelt scuff laws.
During the extended two-week period, they busted 267 drunken drivers, 45 of them with blood alcohol content levels high enough to be considered super drunks.
But in addition to that, we issued more than 4,000 seatbelt citations, 22 other traffic violations, 784 speeding tickets, made 74 drug arrests.
Lynn Sutphin says they found everything from drivers without proof of insurance to arresting 43 for outstanding felony warrants. She says 8 people died in traffic crashes during the holiday period, 3 of them due to alcohol. Jim Whelan, WHTC News.
The West Michigan Whitecaps was named yesterday as the Midwest League's nominee for the annual President's Award, given by organized baseball to honor the top minor league club for its stability and contributions to its community, its league, and the overall industry. The Whitecaps celebrated in 2013 their 20th anniversary since moving east from Madison, Wisconsin. The award winner will be announced in December. The Michigan Licensed Beverage Association has been pushing for a ban on logoed barware items to be lifted. Now they have an added concern.
Glasses, napkins, coasters, or other barware with logos of brands on them are banned by law in Michigan, with a few exceptions. Now Republican State Senator Joe Hune of Hamburg has introduced legislation that would make the measure more restrictive. MLBA Executive Director Scott Ellis says that puts establishments in Michigan at a competitive disadvantage.
We're the only state in the country that does not allow logoed items that have any marketing on it in an on-premise establishment or a bar or restaurant, and we want to change that.
He says they're not looking for freebies, but rather just to be able to purchase such items for marketing purposes.
Sam Harold, WHTC News.
The Tigers will try again to clinch a third straight American League Central crown when they face Minnesota and Minneapolis this evening. Detroit ensured at least one game in the postseason with last night's 4-2 decision over the Twins at Target Field. But Cleveland remained alive for a title tie by beating the White Sox 5-4. Max Scherzer gets the start for the Tigers, and you can catch all the action on 1450 WHTC starting at 6:40 p.m. Both of Chicago's teams are playing out the string, with the Cubs locked into a last-place finish no matter what they do this afternoon against Pittsburgh at Wrigley Field. Well, the White Sox could still have a chance to overcome Minnesota should they snap a 13-game hex the Indians have on them in tonight's finale of a brief two-game series at Progressive Field in Cleveland, and then run the table to finish the season with 5 straight victories while Minnesota loses their final games. The football weekend begins on 1450 WHTC tomorrow night at 8 p.m. as San Francisco visits St. Louis in NFL action. On Friday evening at 6:40 p.m., it's Rockford and West Ottawa on the high school gridiron. Sunday's NFL doubleheader has the Lions hosting the Bears at 12 noon and New England visiting Atlanta at 7:30 p.m. On our FM station, 92.7 The Band and 92.7theband.com, it's Bloomingdale at Saugatuck High School action on Friday night at 6:40 p.m. and Hope at Illinois Wesleyan in collegiate pigskin play on Saturday afternoon at 1:40 p.m. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com calls for sunny skies this afternoon, high 72, clear tonight, low 46, abundant sunshine tomorrow, high 76, and then mostly sunny on Friday, high 78. This news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.